everybody. Welcome to Revival Town Podcast. I'm Chuck Tate, and that's Andy King.
How you doing, mate?
Hey, I'm doing good. Always good to be here doing the podcast.
I know. A bit bright. I like your shirt.
Oh, man, you know.
DCP coffee shirt.
I bought some Dream Center coffee.
You did?
I did, and a mug, a Dream Center coffee mug.
Now
and I went home. I bought it here. I grinded up the beans.
Yeah.
Threw it in the coffee maker. Made myself a nice cup. Put it in the DCP coffee cup.
Oh.
And sat there and enjoyed my evening.
My dad bought some coffee.
Did he?
Yeah. So we're talking about Soup and Soul, which was an event at Dream Center just a week ago.
Yeah.
Just a fun night that we have at the Dream Center. Where...
Yeah, and great job. It's well organized. Great, great soup. Delicious.
Wow. You really liked it.
It was packed, people everywhere eating soup.
About 20 different restaurants from the Peoria area.
Yeah.
And it was a really good night. And you got coffee.
I bought some coffee and
which anyone can buy the coffee online. It sounds like I'm doing a sales pitch, which I am. if you go to Dream
Center. If you go to dreamcenterpeoria.org.
And
what do we click on? Dream Center Coffee.
Just go to the merch store. I think it's / apparel, actually. But you can get DCP coffee. And the coffee is roasted in-house here at the Dream Center by students and volunteers as kids learn a way out of poverty through the coffee business.
Right. And by purchasing coffee through dreamcenterpeoria.org, not only are you going to get some delicious coffee, but you are supporting the community.
Yeah. But let's get back to the story.
So, yeah. And that's why we sell it at Rock Church.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we serve it.
Yeah.
We don't sell it. We serve it. We buy it and then we serve it.
Man.
Come on.
Oh, man.
I'm representing today.
Well, my dad goes to, this is funny, right? My dad goes to the merch store at Soup and Soul, right? We're selling t-shirts, got all these t-shirts. He wants some coffee. The coffee's $18 a bag, right? $18. And so...
Well, they sold it to me for $4. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
So he goes up to him and he only has a 20. And so he gives him the 20 and the gal looks at him and says, do you really want the $2 back? So it cost him $20 instead of $18.
Yeah, because you can't say, no, I really want my change.
Yeah. But then the problem was he got it home and I get this text and he's like, I just bought this coffee and it's coffee beans and I don't have a grinder. So I sent him a picture of a guy with a hammer. But no, it was a good night. Did you, anything else you enjoy about the night?
You know, I enjoyed just hanging out, talking to people.
You're good at that.
You know, I'm good at talking, not listening.
Did you?
I can't hear anybody.
Sorry?
What? That's why when you do the mic check and you say check, I always say what? Check. What? No, I enjoyed just walking. I mean, it was packed.
Yeah.
People were everywhere. Delicious soup, like I mentioned. Uncle Bob's ice cream was a nice little treat.
Yeah, yeah.
That was delicious. And just hanging out, you know, seeing the people happy, smiling, laughing, supporting Dream Center Peoria, making dreams.
Did you see the... sorry, he just spilled his coffee over. Did you see the slide on the screens? Revival Town Podcast. We were promoting the podcast.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Wow, there you know.
There you go. So,
wow.
But today's going to be good. It's definitely connected to the Dream Center a little bit, the type of ministry that the person is involved in, especially with what we're about to do with Zoe House, which we'll explain in the actual conversation. But so it's going to be a good week, don't you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a great conversation. I really enjoyed it.
Great. Well, why don't you sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation with Aubrey.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's EDIFI.app.
it's time for another conversation on Revival Town Podcast. Our guest today, Aubrey Schlackman, leads Blue Haven Ranch, a North Texas nonprofit that provides supportive community, gospel discipleship, and farm therapy for single pregnant mothers with children who find themselves in challenging circumstances. We can't wait to hear her story. Aubrey, welcome to Revival Town.
Thank you. I am so excited to be here with you guys today.
Thank you for coming on. Well, just to give a bit of background, we recently had Austin on.
Austin Savage.
Austin Savage, who's a good friend of ours. And we were just chatting after the conversation with him. And he said, you have got to have Aubrey on. You've been working with you guys. And he knew my story with running the Dream Center. And we've just about to open a home for young moms who are first-time moms who have been displaced or don't have anywhere to really be, and we are going to love on them and get them on the road to success in being a mom and hopefully also with jobs and things like that. And so we were talking about this, and then he said, you need to talk to Aubrey because what they're doing is like the next step of what we're just starting. So
right. And he also knew my story. I've been in therapy for 27 years, been sleeping on Austin's couch. And no, I'm kidding. He's like, Chuck, you need to talk to Aubrey. Oh, kidding. But seriously, Aubrey, thank you so much for taking time to come. We're really excited to hear about how this began and your story and what's taking place now. I know that you're helping a lot of people.
Yeah, it came about through quite a lengthy process. Originally, my husband and I, we just had a heart for single pregnant moms for a long time. And the church that we go to, the Village Church, they are really focused on helping single moms and you know, protecting life, and that's just something that we worked through all the time. And so for years we thought, well, how do we get involved? And we thought about opening up just our personal home, you know, no dreams or aspirations for anything like a nonprofit, like just us doing our own thing. And it just didn't work out. And then we finally got pregnant and had our own child, and I came down with some pretty serious autoimmune diseases after I had my oldest son, and it put us in a really disadvantage because my husband was in school, and like, so our whole life circumstance changed. And then finally I came out of that, and then we got pregnant with our second son, and I had our second son and I was healthy again. And it was like, well, I don't know how I as a mom would have survived all that if I had been alone. If I hadn't had a supportive community or my husband. And it really just got me thinking. And as I was finally healthy again and kind of able to like embrace life again, and this was beginning of 2020, I was just like, okay, God, like I'm ready to reengage with life. I have my strength back. I have my kids. Like I want to be a mom that like can do things with my kids and love on other people. And our pastor Matt Chandler had spoken that January about the sanctity of life and protecting and just how you engage with that as a community, and it got me thinking, okay, well, maybe we should open up our home again to like a maternity home and help us, you know, a single pregnant mom. And so we started down that track, and it just, nothing happened and it didn't work. And so it was shortly after that, in like February of 2020, that I was driving past, we lived in a rural part of the Dallas Fort Worth Metroplex, towards the kind of northwest of the Metroplex. And I was driving home from the grocery store with the boys in the back seat, and I passed this ranch that I always passed. And it had been for sale for a long time, but I don't know, for some reason I just kind of caught my eyes past it. And then all of a sudden I just had this epiphany of an idea of a maternity ranch. And it was like, God just gifted me this idea and all the programming and like what it would look like. And, it was just there. And I was like kind of blown away and shocked, and driving home like, wow, I don't really know what to do with this. But as I sat on it that day, I was like, I really feel like this is a life calling. Like, this is a transition. This is not just like, oh, this is a nice idea. Like, this is something that like started to weigh super heavy on me. And as I thought through it through the day, I was like, okay, all these things that we've wanted on our own, that things that my husband Brian and I are passionate about with, you know, having space for our kids and land and animals and nature and how God heals through that, but also our love of hospitality, which I believe is just a strong spiritual gifting to be able to invite people into your home and into your space and make them feel loved and welcome. And then combining that with that we had a heart for single pregnant moms, I realized, okay, this is a culmination of many, many things coming into one thing. And so my husband is at work and I was like, this is not a texting phone call conversation. I'm going to have to sit on this and wait until he gets home and talk about it.
You got to present it, right?
Right. Wow.
It's not something you just, you know, throw on somebody, you know. And so sat on it, prayed on it that day, and he got home and we got the kids to bed. And I was like, okay, like, you know, it was really a pivotal moment where I was like, if he doesn't go in on this with me, like it's not going to happen. Like, yeah. I know right. my abilities. If I don't have his support, like I can't do this. You know, this right. has to be us together doing this. And so I talked through everything and all the ideas and what it was going to look like and everything. And he just nodded his head. He's like, yeah, I think that's what we're supposed to do. And it was just,
wow.
It was that. I was like, okay, well, that's my first affirmation from the Lord that like, keep going. Like,
yes.
If yeah. he's in it with you, move. And so I, you know, didn't have experience starting a nonprofit. I was a dental hygienist, actually. That's my career path, and had done that for many years. But I just thought, okay, well, I'm going to figure out how to do this, and I'm going to learn how to do it. And God, you're just going to have to provide the steps on how to do it. And so it was like little stepping stones that he would provide. And sometimes they would come a couple a week, and sometimes I would stay in one spot, like trying to figure out the next connection or the next phone call or whatever that was. And that might be a couple weeks, but everything just came together. And so by April of 2020, I had gotten connected to it's called Women's Nonprofit Alliance. It's based out of Plano here in Texas. And it's a nonprofit that helps women start nonprofits. And they go through the whole coaching and the training. And then you basically can birth your nonprofit under the umbrella of their 501c3 nonprofit.
Oh, that's
good. So that you can get rolling and growing and start getting, you know, donations that are tax deductible under your nonprofit, even though you're under theirs. Because, yeah. I mean, starting a nonprofit is a massive, you know, a massive thing and lots of paperwork. And I had no idea how to do that. And they helped you with all of that. So it was like, okay, well, that was a huge, huge mountain that I just got to like hop over because I got connected to the right people.
Yeah.
And so I got connected with nonprofit consultants that year in 2020. And of course all COVID and everything is going on. So, you know, I'm home with the kids and just working on all of this from the house and phone calls and that kind of thing. And we pulled together this plan of like, okay, how can we start with what you have? Like just do something, start with what you have and work towards this massive goal of a maternity ranch. And what does that look like? And so my nonprofit consultants, I had another great thing that somebody paid for me to have a nonprofit consultant for like these 5 sessions where I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Cause somebody gifted that to me so that I could figure out what I needed to do.
And that's huge. And, I mean, just setting up a nonprofit and, you know, we went through that here, Chuck, with, you know, starting with me and a part-timer. And obviously there was a church involved that was helping us get it launched. But there was a time where we had to go and really set it up as a separate entity just because of the grants that are involved with what we do. And, you know, and so to have a consultant like that is so good.
Right. That's exactly what I was thinking. So yeah. Aubrey, I pastor a church that I planted in 1998. So this coming May, we'll turn 26 years old. And I kind of had a similar experience. I wasn't driving by a ranch, but I was driving in a ministry van. I used to work for this national youth ministry, and we traveled all over the country in Canada hosting youth conventions. And it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. I was in a van driving with our team. Everybody was sleeping, and I was listening to worship. And I just all of a sudden felt impressed by the Holy Spirit to plant a church. And there was a church that I was attending in Tulsa that I had always thought would do really, that style of church would do really well in the Peoria area where I'm from. And it just kind of like all came together just driving. And it just,
yeah.
that's when it hit. But then fast forward, when it was time to step out in faith and plant this church, and this was before there were church planting networks, and we were just kind of on our own. Yeah. We met with the pastor, and they helped us a little bit, and they connected us with their attorneys because we needed to get official, right?
Yeah.
Get all the paperwork.
Right.
But we didn't have anyone guiding us, right? So check this out. So we went to receive our 501c3 nonprofit status, all the above. And long story short, we got this bill in the mail for a crazy amount of money from this attorney when we thought that this, the church was taking care of it for us because they're like, hey, we're going to connect you with our attorney. And they're a mega church. All right. I was in my 20s, never pastored a church before. My wife and I packed all of our stuff into U-Haul, drove to Illinois. And then we get this bill. And way back then, it was like, I want to say like over $4,000 or something. And my jaw dropped. I'm like, we can't pay this. I don't know. And anyway, long story short, I already said that. But we ended up waiving some of the fees, but it almost crippled us right out of the gate. So what a blessing. I said all that to say, what a blessing for you to be led down the path you were on.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that makes me passionate about even doing things like this, and doing podcasts is that I think so many other people probably have dreams and aspirations to do things and they just don't know how to start. And, things like the Women's Nonprofit Alliance and the different consultants that I had, I mean, those were key elements to being able to jumpstart what we did. And that set us off on a trajectory of success. And, I had no idea that there were places out there that help people start nonprofits, like no idea. And I just talked to the right people that God brought into my life and they were like, oh, well, that's how we did. Da, 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 da. And it was amazing. So all that to say, we were ready and we were like, okay, we can start in our home and we can do this support group out of our house and we won't be able to provide all the things that we want to provide in the long run. But right now we can provide weekly meals. Like we'll all cook together and bring in that element of like at the table community together and do a Bible study together and just bring everything in. And then the meals that we cook, we send home with the moms because, as a single parent, but even just as a working parent, to have food provided that you don't have to fix on your own, like just takes a level of, stress off of that mom and her kids. And while she's pregnant and uncomfortable and all the things. Yeah. And so that's how we started. And we knew that we had enough money that we could provide a baby shower for each mom and that we would give them 2 months of paid maternity leave. Because these moms don't have maternity leave because unfortunately here in the US, our structure is most jobs don't provide it or pay for it. I mean, now you might be able to like get it off, but they're not necessarily going to pay you to be off for that amount of time, unless you're with, some larger corporation. And most of our moms are not in that kind of situation. So to be able to pay that they get 2 months to stay home with their kids and the baby and figure out next steps was huge because some of these moms had their own businesses and they're like, I mean, I can afford to not work for 2 weeks. Like you are physically not ready to go back to work after having a baby after 2 weeks. And so that was the baseline. Like it was like, it's what we can do. And so in 2021, beginning of 2021, we took our first mom. And by April of 2021, we had 4 moms.
Wow.
And their family. Wow. And so that's how we started and just doing that group in our home. and adding volunteers. And it really started to take off. We had a couple of like local news articles do a few things. And that's when we got, it was interesting. It was right before I took the fourth mom in that April of 2021, there was a sweet family that read a local article that was written about us. And they had just gotten their tax receipt back and everything. And they donated $14,000, just out of the blue. It showed up on a Tuesday. I remember very clear. I was picking my kids up from preschool and I was like, wow, $14,000. And, and so I knew, I was like, okay, God, you don't just give money and it sit here. Like, so something's coming and I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And that Friday, that following Friday, I got a call from a mom who had left an abusive marriage and was living in a hotel that her brother had put her up in with her two kids. And she was pregnant and actually had a job offer, but didn't have childcare. So she couldn't accept the job. Mm-hmm. So she was stuck.
Yeah.
Basically.
Right.
And so I was like, well, we just got this, big chunk of money. So I'm going to go ahead and get you an apartment and roll you on into the program. And so that started technically our phase two that quickly, which was in the meantime, while we don't have the maternity ranch, we're going to house moms in apartments and be able to start expanding on the services that we can offer to these families. And so throughout 2021, as we gained more momentum and more money, we started paying the rent for these other moms and where they were living. And then by the end of 2021, we had five families and all of them, had full support in their apartments and we were paying for childcare and a couple other things.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. And then that was here in Texas. In the September of 2021 was when the heartbeat bill kicked in. And I don't know if that had ripple effects in other states, but here in Texas, it was a big deal because that was kind of the first part of abortions being limited here in Texas, where, once the heartbeat was, we could hear the heartbeat, then you couldn't have an abortion any further. Wow. And that's actually how our fifth mother came to us was she tried to go and have an abortion because she had three children already with this boyfriend, long-term boyfriend. And he was increasingly become more and more abusive and she was pregnant and she had her toddler. The two older ones were somewhere else. And he basically choked her out and while she was pregnant. And then when she woke up, he was playing with the toddler and she was like, this is it.
I got to get out of here. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she went to try and have an abortion and they're like, you're too far along. That's not an option for you. And she had no idea, of course, that was even something that had just gone into effect.
Sure.
So then a sidewalk counselor spoke to her and her sister driving out of the abortion clinic parking lot. And that got them connected with a pregnancy resource center, which knew about us.
Yeah.
And so because we are the only nonprofit here in the DFW Metroplex that I have found in the 4 years we've been operating that takes single pregnant with existing children, because it's just a spacing issue and financial issue. I happened to have an open spot that she was able to come in because nobody else was around to be able to help her. And so we brought her in that Thanksgiving of, 2021. She was the fifth mom. And all that rolled into the Washington Post was here randomly when the heartbeat bill kicked in and she randomly heard about us and tracked me down and was like, hey, I'd really like to follow what you're doing and write a story. And I was like, that's intimidating. Because, you're a huge liberal, newspaper and I'm a tiny little fairly conservative, nonprofit, pro-life and all that. But in the end, she was incredibly sweet and she followed us around for 2 weeks.
Wow. Really?
The moms. Yeah. She was with me for 2 weeks, going with me to my meetings with the moms and doing stuff in our home. And Because at that point, we didn't have what we have now. We sold our house that we started in, and now we have a 4-acre farm. And then she wrote this amazing article, at least amazing for us. I mean, you know, I can understand she wasn't super kind to Texas, but that's, you know.
Right.
But very sweet to us. And that's when we exploded. And we got called up to Washington, D.C. and did a podcast with Mike Pence and a bunch of other things. And then the New York Times and then the BBC and then the Dallas Morning News. Like, I mean, it just like
snowballed.
It snowballed. And that kicked our finances into gear even more and allowed us to take on more families and expand more. And that's when we moved everything from our house to a small church that welcomed us to do our support groups there, because we were had outgrown my house.
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, we decided, okay, we need to really kick in farm therapy in more seriousness, because at that point in our house that we started with, it was just a big greenhouse and chickens and our dogs, you know? And so it was like, we need to do more of what we're envisioning. So we bought this 4-acre farm outside of the Metroplex. And so now we have, you know, the ponies and the goats and the mini cows and the chickens and the dogs and the cats and, you know,
and
4 acres that, you know, because the moms and the kids are still housed in apartments at this point, they get to come and spend some time on the farm and run around and play and, you know, play with all the animals. And we have a garden and grow things, and
yeah,
everybody gets to experience that. So that's the more fun side of it, you know. That's great. That is the encouraging side. And then, you know, we've now walked beside 10 families at this point, 10 babies and all their kids. We graduated those first 4 moms last year, beginning of last year. And we currently now have 6 families, and we're hoping to take, you know, quite a few more this year. And we are also looking, I had another baby last year. So we had been looking for land to purchase for the nonprofit to have the maternity ranch. And with everything going on in my own pregnancy, I was like, we're just going to have to put this on pause and let's just focus internally on the nonprofit and we'll look at land later.
Yeah.
And so we've kicked that back into gear, and we're hoping to find something and close on a property this year.
Wow. So the girls or the families, are they on the ranch with you guys or still in those apartments?
Still in the apartments, yes.
Okay.
So we have condensed them all into a single apartment complex so that everybody's together and has that greater sense of community and stability where they are. And it's worked out well. It's incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
This middle phase, you know, we've really figured out is not sustainable in forever, because just the cost of living with everybody having individual rent and utilities and not condensing everything into a single place where everybody's sharing a lot of resources. Yeah. And of course you only have one electricity and one water and, like, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And God has blessed us to be able to sustain us financially through this, and it's working, but it's a lot more expensive than it's going to be once we finally have a property where everybody's together on site.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally hear what you're saying. So, and for those listening for the first time, with some of the things that we do here at Dream Center, so we have this emergency shelter, where we'll have anywhere between 120 to 150 women and children come every night.
Wow.
And our average age on that floor is 9 years of age. So it's a very young crowd that's coming in with mom with 3, 4, 5 kids. But the aim then is to transition those families from that homeless shelter emergency floor to... We have 21 apartments here on the property at Dream Center. And so we can transition them then into their own space, like what you're talking about, but it's under one building still. And, you know, what we've seen over the last 12 years, 15 years of doing just that program
is 97% never go back to homelessness once they've gone through that program. And they've, you know, they get established, they get a job. They don't want to live in the Dream Center forever. And we tell them that, like, this is just the in-between.
Right.
But I totally hear what you're saying about being under one roof, sharing different bills, things like that. It's very important because they're the type of things that can cripple a nonprofit very quickly.
Yes.
And so so we'll definitely be praying for you guys. Is the aim for this new place that you're looking at that everyone would live there? Or
yes.
So everything's on site, which is great.
Yes, right? it'd be a campus, really, where all the moms would live in. You know, we're still working through the complexities of is that a duplex? Is it, you know, what does the actual cottage situation look like? But, you know, the moms would all live on site with all their kids in a 3-bedroom kind of situation. Because, like you said, most of these moms are coming in with, since our limitation, of course, is single pregnant with existing children, you know, it's 2 children minimum, you know, the baby and one child. And then, but I mean, we have moms with, you know, 4 or 5 kids. And we are a longer term program. We take them while they're pregnant and then up to 18 months postpartum. Because I mean, it sounds like you understand, you know, it takes a while to get people back on their feet to be, you know, to grasp that new life and establish new habits and new careers and all of those things. And so, just basically trying to do that on a campus in a ranch environment with our community center and staff and counseling and, you know, the farm therapy, everything all together, you know, in one place.
Wow. And the therapy on the farm, is that limited to the women and children that you're helping, or is that beyond that scope?
I think that's interesting that you say that, because I think in my mind, I have a phase 4 out there somewhere. Like, once we've established ourselves as a solid part of the community and we've gotten through all of our own hiccups with getting on site on the ranch and having all the families, I'd like to have anywhere from, I think we're probably going to start with 10 families on site and then try to work up to 20 families over maybe a 5-year period. But I think my next goal would be, if there are single pregnant moms that need support systems but don't necessarily need the housing, that we could be able to kind of exponentially help the community in that way, that they could be part of us but not necessarily living on site. But that's a way out there, you know.
Great.
But, that's but yeah, good. You're not wrong.
What is the the highlight of what you do? What is like every day you're like, or it may not happen every day. It may be something that happens in the journey of a family. What is the highlight for you?
This is why we do what we do.
Yeah.
Gosh. Well, I'll try to say it without there's so many because of what we do is so multifaceted. You know, we're obviously pro-life, but we're really a secondary support system for the moms that have already chosen life.
Yeah.
You know? Right. And so we're here to help break generational cycles of poverty and abuse and the things that these moms have gone through that have made them make some of these choices. Cause our moms are older demographic. I mean, our youngest mom we've ever had is 25.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Our oldest has been 41. So, I mean, these are moms that have been moms for a while and they're either coming out of divorce or a marriage of abuse or abandonment, or they may have been a single mom for a long time. But seeing the moms light up when they get like a new job because they've finished their education that we've paid for. Mm. And then like they're excited about their future because they're now working as, you know, a bookkeeper or, you know, a medical assistant or something that, cause they come from making hardly anything. Minimum wage. And our goal is to get them, you know, quite a bit of a jump up, but to put them on a trajectory of growth and not just a job that's going to like keep them at a specific place.
Yeah, and so, a career.
A career. And, you know, so seeing them get excited about being successful. And I think then hearing you know, occasionally when they'll give feedback about how they feel loved, or like one of my favorite parts of our program is our grandparent program. We have volunteers that come in to kind of provide that multi-generational support system, because they don't, that's the one thing that ties all these families together, is they don't have supportive, encouraging parents. From all their different backgrounds, they don't have a support system, because they're either, they've either passed away or they're more toxic than what the moms have been living in. And so the moms keep themselves away. And so seeing their relationships grow with the volunteers and just how they feel loved and encouraged. And then we've had kids come in of many different ages that are nonverbal because of their, you know, the abuse that they may have been in or witnessed. And then to see those kids, their whole attitudes change from anger or silence or solitude, and see them grow and blossom and start interacting with the volunteers and with us, and light up when they come to farm therapy and play with the dogs. I mean, that's just like, that's
yeah.
It. Yeah.
Wow.
That's so good.
Well, we're so grateful for what you do. And I know people are listening and they're shaking their head up and down like we are, like, wow, this is really, really cool. And it's amazing how it all began from just driving by a ranch and the Holy Spirit putting something in your heart. And then you were obedient, and here you and your husband are doing it. Can you take a moment and pray for those who perhaps are pursuing a dream that God's put in their heart and they don't know what their next steps are? And for maybe a single mom who's listening today who doesn't have the resources available like you provide.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. Father God, we thank you for today and this time that we get to meet each other and talk. And I just pray, God, as you are across time and space, that others who may have felt a calling on their life, Lord, that you would equip them with boldness to push forward and push past obstacles, but also, God, that you would bring into their path people and different organizations that would help them to fulfill their goals, Father, because you are a God who loves others, and you want those who are on the fringes of humanity to hear about you and to know your love and to be witnessed to, Father. And I just ask for whatever that is that people have a dream for, that you would help them to be encouraged and to work through those hard and difficult moments to keep going. And for, God, a single mom, that she would just know that, God, you love her and she is on your heart, and you see her in her difficulties and in her striving and in her trying to keep her head above water, God, that you would provide and be her protector and her provider, God. We thank you that you see us and that you forgive us of all our sins, and you draw us closer through your son, Jesus. We thank you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Well, I know that there's going to be people that have been listening or watching today wanting to connect with you, and whether it's to encourage you in what you're doing or help financially or whatever, find out what you do. What's the best way people could connect with you?
Well, our website is bluehavenranch.org, and you can absolutely reach out to us through there. And you can send us an email. Moms can apply that way. Volunteers can apply that way. Donations, everything is set up on the website. And if you want to specifically talk to me, you can email through the website. That's probably the easiest way. And then I will get it and I can talk to anybody. And also you can follow us on Facebook or Instagram and follow along with us and communicate that way too.
And that's through Blue Haven Ranch for them to search on Facebook?
Yes, on Facebook, it's just at Blue Haven Ranch. And then on Instagram, it's at blue.haven.ranch.
Okay. Great.
Perfect.
That's great. Hopefully people would take advantage of that and definitely reach out to you and what you're doing and share your story as well. You never know who's listening to
right.
a podcast. It could be a journalist. It's like, hey, well, let's if the BBC are doing it, let's let's jump on that. You know what I mean? So,
right, right.
So
we've had it happen before, though. Actually, with
you
know, with some other guests we had on that set up some divine appointments. It's, you never know what God's doing behind the scenes.
You never know.
Well, we're going to do something real quick here that we always do with our guests. It's the big three. Three questions that have nothing to do with what we've just talked about, but everything to do with you. Do you want to start?
Sure.
Yeah?
All right.
All right. Here we go.
My first question, you live in North Texas. You mentioned The Village and Matt Chandler. I have to know this. Are you a Cowboys fan?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
My whole life. My whole life. Watched the Cowboys as a kid.
Oh,
never going to change.
Same here. All right. All right.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I knew it was a good thing we had you on today, I tell you.
So I have just taken a road trip from right outside of Chicago, where we're at, right? We're about 2 hours from Chicago, all the way to L.A., okay?
Okay.
To deliver a car to my son out there. But I've never done a road trip across the country like that. I've gone up to Boston before, but not like this. And I went through Texas, and I saw a ton of huge ranches with, like, you know, beef, obviously, for steak, and you know what I'm saying? If we were coming to your town, where would you be taking us to eat a good steak?
Oh my goodness, a good steak? Ooh, that's a really good question. Because there are a couple different places.
And I'm so glad that you didn't say I'm a vegetarian.
No, I'm not. That's a really good question. Because there's a couple different places that are more like in Dallas, but... you know, farther out kind of where we are, there's one place, it's actually, it's one of our favorite places to go. It's very family friendly. It's called Marty B's.
Okay.
Okay.
And it's technically in Bartonville, Texas, but it's close to the whole, like, Denton, you know, area. But it's great, and Marty is great, and he's got a couple of restaurants, but Marty B's in Bartonville is the place to go.
All right,
all right.
So if you're listening,
I'm hungry.
Yeah,
all right.
If you're in that area, make sure you're checking out that for sure. Okay, last question.
Okay, well, normally the questions don't have a lot to do with the conversation. However, you mentioned that you have goats, so I've got to know. Are goats as much fun as they appear to be in all the social media videos?
I love them so much. We actually just had babies. We they were born December 18th, so they're 2 months old now, and they are just darling, a little boy and girl. And they're so fun, and they're so cute. And that's actually the mom and kids' favorite thing, because they're very safe and they're not intimidating at all, where some of the other animals can be. So the toddlers can still go out there and, you know, feed them with the grain and stuff, and they're a lot of fun.
I want a goat.
Well, we just
we have seven at this point.
Fun.
That's good. Well, we want to thank you so much for coming on to Revival Town Podcast today. I know your story is just inspired us and others that are listening, I'm sure. Really, to one of the main things is to go after that God-given dream.
Yes.
You know, and you just driving past that ranch, and God just drops something in your spirit, and a lot of people, that's where it normally stops. You know,
right.
It's normally like, that's nice, but not for me. But you went for it. And so so thank you for coming on and inspiring so many today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it, guys.
Thanks. Thank you. Oh, man. Got a little jazz, a little smooth music going. Come on. Have a sip of coffee. Yeah, down on the farm. Gonna go play with some goats. Yeah.
No, wait. Didn't you tell me
after this, yeah, I've been thinking about getting some goats.
No, I said I want to get a goat. I'm not thinking about getting it. But I would love to have a goat.
Why?
I just think they're cool. Yeah.
Have you not seen some of those videos online where they come and just start butting you?
They just... They start doing what?
Butting.
Bussy. They just start bussy.
No. Butted. B-U-T-T. But.
Oh, butty.
But like they headbutt. Just
butty. Headbutt. Oh, butting you. Butty, headbutting you. Hey. Oh,
I'm
my
not
goodness.
Indian. You're doing too many. Yes, you're doing way too many TV stuff in India because you started talking like them.
Oh, but yes, they do. They will. They'll butt you.
See? But. That's
yep,
what I said.
Yep, yep they'll butt you. And, yeah, but they're still cool. I want one. I want a goat.
Oh man, that was good, wasn't it?
They also like they jump, they hop, they I mean they would.
It sounds like you're a bit of a professional with these things.
Yeah,
is that right?
Have you seen the music video, "The Blessing," Carrie Job, where when it comes to the chorus, it's a goat.
Yes, yeah. and also I've seen the one with the Star Wars one.
Oh,
where you know Anakin's the kid and. Oh, man, yeah. Amazing how they do that.
Well, anyway, hey, great conversation. Thank you, Aubrey, for coming on Revival Town. Loved her story and can't wait to see what God continues to do, especially when all the ladies are able to move out of a apartment complex to the farm in the future.
Yeah.
But God's hand's been on it every step of the way.
Incredible story.
Yes.
So, well, you know what's next.
Yes.
This is part of the show where Mr. Tate has to try and guess an English phrase
or rhyming Cockney slang.
Oh, you have been practicing.
I've been practicing. Oh, you know? Man. This is where you might use a word such as a button.
A button. Okay, are you ready? Because you haven't got one
This is the worst start to a new year since we have started Revival Town podcast. Aubrey, this is episode 278.
I mean, 278?
100.
Man, it feels like eternity.
I've been drinking goat juice. No, 178, not 200. 178.
Yeah.
But this year, I have not gotten one word right.
Yeah.
Okay, so today's the day.
Okay.
Today is the
day. You just set it up, okay, because you are gormless.
Because what?
You are gormless. Gormless.
Gormless?
Yeah.
With the G, not a
G. G.
Gormless.
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 Yeah. Gormless he is.
Can you use it in another sentence?
Let me think. Chuck is gormless. I am not.
Smart.
Well, it's you got to expound a bit more.
I'm smart. You're not.
No, that's not. Gormless is not smart.
I'm.
You're gormless.
You're gormless. I'm not.
No, you're gormless.
I'm gormless. You're not. I'm going to have to say. And what was the other way? The other context you used it in?
Chuck is gormless. I just used the same. Okay,
I'm going to say clueless.
I think I'm going to have to give it you. It's lacking intelligence. He's gormless.
So, the one that I get right. Means intelligence. I'm gormless.
So there you go. So
yeah.
We had fun though, didn't we? Hey, that's a good one.
That was a good one. Yeah, I'm finally off the hook though.
Why?
I got one right.
I'm not true. Yeah,
so I'm not gormless anymore.
True. Yeah. Not gormless. No.
Well, thank you so much for listening to Revival Town.
Thank you.
We have had fun today. Make sure you're letting people know about the podcast and about everything about Revival Town. And if you know, we've said it a few times, but if you've got someone that you feel you know that is making a difference, okay? We're not just going to have anyone on the show, but if you think, man, this guy, this gal is making a difference, right. This organization's making right. a difference, let us know. DM us through social media and we'll try and get them on.
Right, let's do it.
Because it's not, we can't always get the ones that people ask for. Sometimes it's just hard, sometimes scheduling, things like that.
Sure.
But we'll give it a go.
We'll give it a go.
All
we'll
right.
Give it a goat.
Give it a goat. Okay. Well, all right, mate. Thank you so much thank for you. Doing this with me.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for listening or watching. And tune in next week.
Next week. Let's do it.
See you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Revival Town Podcast. Make sure you're following us on social media and remember to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For more information, head on over to revivaltownpodcast.com.